Be thankful unto Him. I like to be around thankful people. Especially the older I get, the more I understand something about thankfulness. And I like being around thankful people. People who have been humbled by the grace of God. And those are the only ones, now listen, they are the only ones who are truly, truly thankful. Some others think they're lucky stars. But God's people thank Him. We're thankful to Him. People who've given up their sense of entitlement and recognize the hand of God's mercy in all that they have, all that they are, and all that they ever will be. We owe it to the grace of God. A people who recognize that through Christ they can do all things, and yet at the same time recognize that without Christ they are absolutely nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Now he says here in verse 1, make on purpose, on purpose, a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. True religion and melancholy really don't go together, do they? Good news. The gospel is good news. And melancholy, being cast down, David said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. Why are you cast down? We are a joyful people. We are to be a joyful people in the Lord. When we come together to sing God's praises, to worship Him, we are to do it on purpose, something we desire to do. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of God. Let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad. I was happy. Thankful. When they said, let us go, David, and worship God, he said, I was glad. Made me glad. You know, worship is only worship when we do it willingly from the heart. That's the only time it's worship. It's when we freely and willingly do it from the heart. And I asked myself when I was writing this, is my heart now, engaged in worship tonight freely? If so, that's worship. That's worship. And notice the scope of all those who are to praise Him. The scope of the command. All ye lands. You know, David was talking about us when he wrote this. He was living over there. He was living over there in the Mideast. We were over here. All ye lands. All ye Gentiles. Jews and Gentiles. God has a people out of every kindred, tribe, and tongue under heaven. All lands. He made all. All are His. All are to praise Him. Look over in Revelation 11. Revelation chapter 11. Look in verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Satan doesn't own a speck of it. It all belongs to our Lord. It's His. And that being so, all lands are to praise Him, bow to His sovereign will, acknowledge His sovereign right, and praise Him. Give unto Him the glory due unto His name. And here's our attitude in service in verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence. Isn't that what we've done this evening? Have we not come before His presence? Have we not gathered here before His presence? And we've sang His praises? He says, serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. You know, our Lord did that. He came before God with gladness. You know, after they had the supper, they sang a psalm. He went about His service. He went about His work that the Father gave Him. Now listen, He went about it with gladness. Gladness. Look over in Psalm 40. Look back in Psalm 40. If I have this written down. Psalm 40, look in verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight. I delight to do thy will. What's God's will? Concerning Christ. What was His will concerning Him? To suffer and die for a people. To suffer His wrath. To be made sin in their place and take the wrath of God that they deserve. And He says here, I delight to do Thy will, O God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. He delighted to do the will of God. Attitude is everything, isn't it? Attitude is everything, especially in worship. It's everything. Serving the Lord in gladness, there is no other way to serve Him. The word gladness means joyfulness, glee. It means exceedingly glad. That's what it means. Here's a question. Are you joyful? And I ask myself these things as I do this, as I write these notes. Are you joyful? Glee. Are you exceedingly glad with where the Lord has placed you and what you're doing? Are you? He put you where you are. He has given you the job that you have, whatever it is you do. And in that position, as His child, as a believer, you serve Him. You serve Him where you are. You know, we don't just serve God when we come here or stand in the pulpit or pray or sing. No, we serve Him every minute of our lives. In every point of our lives and every place we go. I don't care if it's a job or on vacation. We are never out of His service. If I'm not glad with the lot that the Lord has given me, I assure you I will not be glad doing something else. It won't happen. But I'll tell you why. True contentment begins with Christ, not with what I am doing or where I am. It begins with the Lord Jesus Christ. If I am content with Him, if He's all I need, if I have found in Him all I need, and I am content with Him, I assure you I'll be content wherever He puts me and with whatever I'm doing. With whatever talent He's given me. True contentment starts with Christ. Now He says here, come before His presence with singing. The fact that we are allowed to come into His presence has something to sing about. That we are allowed to, that we are allowed in Christ to come into the Holy of Holies. I tell you what, I assure you, when our sister went to be with the Lord this morning, she entered in with thanksgiving and praise and singing. I guarantee you that happened. And we need to start. It's got to start here. If it doesn't start here, it ain't going to happen there. Come before His presence with singing. Singing is an outward expression of what's going on in the heart. I think if there's anything that really expresses, that expresses a person, it's singing. Some people sing the blues. Some people just, you know, they sing upbeat songs. Look over in Colossians 3. Here's what we're to do. The believers. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It's an outward expression of what's going on in the heart. Now you cannot sing, you cannot praise, you cannot worship someone you don't know. Can you? Verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. Know ye that Jehovah. Know ye that Elohim. He's God. Worship, true worship, begins with intelligence. We are not ignorantly singing and going through this religious service. We are worshiping God according to the Scriptures. We are worshiping God in Christ. You can't worship someone you don't know. You can't do it. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. This one to whom we are singing, this one to whom we worship, is God. He is the only God. He is the self-existing God. He is supported by no one. You and I are supported by Him. We have a large support group, don't we? I mean, I wouldn't never want to say that I don't need anybody. I do. I do. But God is self-existent. He doesn't depend on anyone. He depends on absolutely no one. And this knowledge, this knowing God brings gladness. It brings thankfulness. Apply this knowledge and it'll make you glad. Seek to know God in Christ. It'll make you joyful. It'll make you joyful. But here's another reason for joy, gladness, and thankfulness. He, that is God, made us. He made us. Now, if you listen to the modern day preaching, men are making themselves. God wants to save you if you let Him. No, He made us. He hath made us and not we ourselves. This is giving all the glory to Him. I didn't have anything to do with it. I did not have one single thing to do with my first birth. And I did not have one single thing to do with my second birth. That new birth. Born of God. It's all of Him. But it says here, He hath made us and not we ourselves. Our God is the God of creation. When you read through the Old Testament, I want you to notice one thing. As you read through the Old Testament, the prophets of old often identified God first as the God of creation. That's how they identified Him. First as the God of creation. Because I tell you why. The one that made all this, He's God. The one who made all this is God. And He hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His special creation. He has made us new in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are His special creation. He gave us our existence. Without Him, nothing would exist. All things were made by Him and for Him. Without Him, not anything made that was made. And all things were made by the Lord Jesus Christ and for Him. Everything. Everything that exists, the things we can't even imagine that's out there, was for Him. It's for Him. And it's made by Him. No one comes into this world by accident. There's no accidental birth. And no one's born of God by accident. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the creation of the world. And He's the one who gave us faith. He's the one who gave us repentance. He did. Both of these are the gifts of God. And we are His people. This just keeps getting better. It's just building up to this. Be faithful unto Him. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. The flock whom He feeds. The flock whom He takes care of. We are His. We are His. You know, the only reason for Israel's existence is God. You take Israel over there in the Middle East. God chose Abraham. And He brought a people out of him. Named him Israel. It's typical of the church. It's the type of the church. He brought them out. Chose them. Redeemed them, typically. And that's what He's done for us in Christ. God has a people that He loved in Christ. He chose in Christ. He redeemed by Christ. Made the righteousness of God in Christ. They are His. They are His. Look over in Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, verse 21. This people have I formed for myself. He did not say that about any other nation. This people. God has a people. They shall show forth my praise. We are His people. Those who believe on Christ, love Christ. You're His people. Special people. You're His.
And you're his sheep.
The sheep of his pasture.
Now what are we to do? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Be thankful he didn't leave you alone. Be thankful to him and bless his name. We are to be glad that we are allowed to enter into his gates. As I said earlier, into his presence, into his courts. Allowed to do that. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone said this. All sacrifices have been done away with. Except the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. All sacrifice has been done away with except the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. They are always in season. Always. Thanksgiving is to be our attitude toward God in all things. It says in the Scriptures, in all things, give thanks. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He lost those 10 children. All his flock. I mean, everything he had, it was gone. Except his life. Couldn't touch his life. He said, you don't touch his life. See, our life is hid with Christ and God. It can't be touched. You don't touch his life. In all things, give thanks. All things. And here's the pinnacle of our thanksgiving. For the Lord is good. He's good. I might be having a bad day. He's still good. I might lose something, but he's still good. It's good that I lost it. It's good that he's... I tell you what, he's good when he gives and he's good when he takes. He's always good. And it says his mercy is everlasting. Aren't you glad of that? I mean, we can wear each other's mercy out real quick. We can wear it out. I mean, it wouldn't take long before we're saying, how often should I forgive my brother? That's what the disciples want to know. They're going to count it out. Boy, you get on that last one, you're mine. You're mine. It's everlasting. Everlasting. Infinite. You can't wear it out. I'm telling you what, if we could, we would. But it's everlasting. His mercy is everlasting. It will not, he will not run dry of mercy. So don't be backward. Ask for it. Ask for it. And his truth endureth to all generations. We have the same truth that Spurgeon had. Paul had. Abraham. Abel. Satan and men have tried on a daily, on an hourly basis to destroy the truth. And here we still have it. We have the unerring Word of God in our hands. And we have the truth, the embodiment of truth, seated at God's right hand. So when you and I are gone, and this world's still going, so will His truth be. Our children, children's children, children's children will hear it. Because as long as this world stands, God has a people. And they're going to hear the truth. They're going to hear the truth. Not a portion of it. A portion of the truth is nothing but a lie. They're going to have the truth. You think about all the attacks God's truth has met with over thousands of years, and yet we still have it. We still have it. I want to close with Psalm 103. In Psalm 103, he says, "Bless, be thankful to the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits." Do you have any benefits today? Do you have food? Do you have family? Daily, it says in the Scripture, daily He loads us with benefits. Daily. We don't even recognize all the benefits He loads us with. If I lost something, that's a benefit. He takes it from me, that's a benefit. We cry about it, whine about it. But it's a benefit. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities," all of them, not one of them left. Not one of them hanging out there. They're all gone. "And who healeth all thy diseases," spiritual and physical, if he so please. Because all true healings of God. "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction," oh my. "Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy." That's what we are crowned with. We are absolutely crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies all day long. "And he satisfies," who satisfies thy mouth with good things. Gospel things. "So that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts to the children of Israel." Has God made known his ways to you? The way of salvation? How he saves sinners? Oh, the Lord's merciful. All these things are to be thankful for. "The Lord's merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." It's everlasting. "He'll not always chide. Neither will he keep his anger forever." All trials have an end. All chastening has an end. When we learn the lesson. Sometimes it just takes us a while to learn the lesson. "He hath not dealt with us after our sins." He did our Lord. But not us, not his people. "Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." I tell you why. If he did, we would be in hell. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here. "For as the heavens high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west." How far is that? Those two never meet. The east and the west can never meet. You go this way, you can go this way, but the two are never going to meet. "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." They'll never catch it. They'll never get us. He put them away. They're gone. "Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him." He knows our frame. He remembers we are dust. And through trials, he reminds us that we're dust. But he remembers we're dust. He knows what we are. There used to be a song, I don't remember who sang it, "Dust in the Wind." I remember hearing that when I was younger man. "As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourishes." You think he's somebody. Steve Jobs was somebody for a while, wasn't he? "But the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and the place of earth shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children of children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them." We have so much to be thankful for. Be thankful unto him.